Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
That's not bad, but it's not good enough, okay? Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
That's better. Well, it's good to see you this morning, and thank you for the opportunity of coming and sharing God's powerful and precious word with you this morning. Now, out on the back table, here's a little gift present for you. There's these calendars. I don't know whether you've seen these before. I've got a pile of them out there if you haven't got one of these. It's one of the most They're one of the best calendars you'll ever get because it's got all verses for each day in it, and you'll really enjoy it. And then down below here, you just tuck that little page out there, and there's our little thing here telling us about telling you about our ministry, okay? So you can be praying for us. We'd really value that as well. And I hope that when you came in this morning, you received our little newsletter that we send out to everybody, and I've taken up the theme in this newsletter of will you be a rope holder? I was illustrating with Paul, and when he was in Damascus, and they let him out over the wall. You know, the governor wanted to kill him, and so you know they let him out over the wall, and they had to hold the rope. And I guess they didn't realize that this man that was in his basket, you know, lowering him down to the ground, that he was to take the gospel to the whole of the Roman Empire. Such a crucial time, but they were rope holders. And that's what we need today, people that are holding the rope. And here's a window of opportunity. And we've been given some wonderful windows of opportunity this year. God willing, we'll be into Fiji, Suville, and Bassa, and sharing the gospel. And then, too, we'll be going to the Solomon Islands, and I'll be with Will Graham, that's Billy Graham's grandson, in Portugal in April. So God's opening up some wonderful opportunities. And then down with Will Graham on the Gold Coast, I think that's in June. So we're seeing some wonderful doors of opportunity opening to us. And so there's wonderful windows everywhere, and we're looking where we can share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then too, he's loaded in a basket. I think this is the basket when they used to salt the fish down at Galilee, and they used to bring them up into places like Jerusalem and up to Damascus. So it's a fish basket. And that's what we're about. We're to be fishers of men out there winning people to our Lord Jesus Christ too. And then I speak about a rope. And we need to hold on to each other, holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need people that will hold the rope for us as we do these things. And notice it was at night. And I tell you what, it's night in this world at the moment. Watched with horror last night on the ABC News and what's happening with the gay pride parade. Can you imagine down there in Sydney? And I felt physically sick. I really felt, God, why, where are we going? And as it was in the days of Sodom, it's here right now. And we've got to realize where we are. It's time to wake out of sleep and see where we are in our nation and the nations of the world today. So it is night, and of course the governor wanted to kill Paul, and the devil is out to stop us from sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's great opportunities ahead, and when we go to Suva and we go to Limbasa and the Solomon Islands, we want to hire buses. We did this in Latoka last year, and we had a great time. A lot of people came to the meetings. Well, we bussed them in, and people gave, I think, about $250 a bus to bus people in. A car will bring four, but a bus will bring 40. So, you know, we bussed them in, and so we're able to swell our meetings. What we want to do this time is to send out the buses in Lembasa, that's the island to the north of Vanuatu, and we'll bus them in too, and then later on, when we go to Suva in August, we'll bus them in again from all over the greater Suva area. So we need help with buses. And if you can help us, maybe your whole family just getting a bus for us, that's $250. It's not for me. It's getting people to hear the gospel, okay? And so if you can help us with that, we want to get as many people as we possibly can to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just don't want to preach to saints and sinners, okay? We want to reach out and reach whole communities for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can help us, maybe part of a bus or a full bus or a couple of buses, I don't know. But let's get behind this and really bus people in so that they will hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We had hundreds come to the Lord in Lautoka. When we were up in the Solomons last year, we had over 1,000 people in that weekend making decisions for the Lord. We're trying to set our sails where the wind is blowing. And it's that way in the islands of the Pacific at the moment. They're concerned about the Chinese, and Chinese are buying up so many places right throughout the South Pacific, and they know what it's for. And we need to be concerned about that too, because it's a staging point to come into Australia. And they know that we need how we produce food, minerals, and where do you think they've got their eyes on? So it's time for us to wake up. This is the time for us to share the gospel, to really wake up and to get prepared, whatever is the cost, to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we're in Fiji, we're developing what we call our tell teams. And a guy just sponsored, and there's plenty of these out the back. All free, just go out there and grab them for your in your car, in your purse, beside the front door when people come to visit. These little tracts, good news for the South Pacific. We're just sending thousands of these right now because they've been sponsored for us into the South Pacific, and we'll be able to blitz the place with these tell teams. They'll be using tracts, they'll be using their testimonies, they'll be using these T-shirts that we'll put on them. Tell teams, John 3:16, and on the back, we've got the cross in John 3:16. Now, this is the only one here today, so I'm not going to give it to anybody, okay? But it's there, and you can imagine these going everywhere, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we can only take a couple of cities, but we want to reach all of the islands for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's how we can do it, developing these tell teams where they can go out in the villages and go to other islands, giving testimonies. We'll be sharing with them how they can simply present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, a bit of music, and it's going to be a great time. So pray about that, please, as we go into the South Pacific this coming year as we seek to win people for our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to the Word of God today. And we want to share, I think it's one of the most exciting messages that I could possibly share with you today. Although, what's the message for down there at Thornlands, Lord? Come on, we just don't want to be talking machines. We want a message from God. So what does God want to say to us here this morning? What's his message for us? Now listen, this is the time to tune in. God wants to speak to our hearts. So let's pause for prayer and ask God to do that with us right now. Just put everything out of our minds, all the problems, all the cares, all the worries that we have to carry day by day. Let's just come to him right now and ask him to speak to our hearts. I pray a little prayer each time I come to the Word of God. Lord, speak to me. And let's just pray that silent little prayer this morning. Lord, speak to me. Not to others, but to me. Lord, please speak to me. Lord, speak to me. Shall we pray that from our hearts this morning? Lord, speak to me. Father, we pray that through your holy word this morning, that you would speak to all of our hearts, because we ask it in the wonderful name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's so many flashpoints in the world at this moment in time. I just feel that the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming is so soon. Don't you feel it? We just can look around the flashpoints that are happening everywhere. We see, what's Putin going to do? He's the most dangerous man on the planet. And he got only a little time left he wants to take, bring in Turkey again into the Russian Empire. Watch him very, very carefully. What's going to happen there? Because he's attacking into the Ukraine to bring it under Mother Russia again, and the whole turmoil that's happening there. We see it with China. We see Korea. We see what's happening in Europe. We see what's happening in the Middle East at the moment. The world seems to be on fire everywhere that we look, in Africa, different other places. There are flashpoints right now where we see all these things happening. And as I said last night, what's happening there in Sydney, Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, said one time, if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, look what's happening in our nation today and what's creeping in, and it's happening everywhere. And that's why we've got to push back today. You know, we're too timid. We've got to get a spirit of boldness today. I think of Amos, you know, that sheep herder from Tekoa that went down into southern Israel and to Judea, and he brought a message to them. It was a message of judgment. And he says, the lion is about to roar. Well, it's time for the church to roar today. We've been like pussycats meowing everywhere. It's time for us to roar, to take the message of the gospel, get proactive, instead of insipid and backing off. We've got the greatest message in the world. So we've got to get out there and share the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that you do too. Why? Because Jesus said it. I will come again. So he's coming. The Bible teaches it. In fact, prophecy is about a third of the Bible. So, it's, you know, you can't just brush it aside and say, yeah, we're a Bible church. You've got to address it. The world desperately needs it today. Believers are longing for it. We want to see our Lord Jesus Christ coming again. Creation cries out for it. Romans 1, it's the creation is just groaning. Evil needs to be totally defeated. And then Jesus wants to take his people home. The king is coming. He's going to come personally. He's coming literally. He's coming visibly. He's coming suddenly. He's coming unexpectedly. He's coming dramatically. He's coming gloriously. He's coming triumphantly. And he's coming finally. And Jesus Christ will come certainly. Jesus Christ is coming again. But I want to take up one wonderful subject. It's so exciting, and I want to share it with you today, and that is what we call the rapture, when Jesus Christ comes to take his people home to be with himself. Did you get a card this morning? Has everybody got the card? The 10 R's of the rapture. Put up your hand if you have not got it. Got that? Haven't got that? Get it. Who was on this morning? They failed miserably. Come on. Who can get up there and get those cards? Come on. Quickly. Get everybody. Put your hand up until you get one of the cards. And you can put your hand down again. Come on. Put them up. Okay. Who's got the cards? Where are they? Up the back? Go get them. Yeah. The 10. You've got to check out me. You know, I might be wrong in doctrine this morning. You better watch me carefully. Okay, there we go. Has everybody got one? Put up your hand. Everybody, make sure everybody's got one of the cards, because I want you to take it back to your Bible and stick it in your Bible. If you use your cell phone as your Bible, it's going to be a problem. But make sure that you've got one of these this morning. Come on. Who hasn't got one? Make sure you've got one. Dear, oh dear. Okay. All right. That's great. Gave me a chance to take my second breath. That's fantastic. Okay, I want you to turn with me now to John's Gospel, chapter 14. I want to give you some verses here concerning the rapture of our Lord Jesus Christ when he's coming for his bride in chapter 14 of John's Gospel. Let's listen to it together. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. It were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that wonderful? Your mansion in heaven is being prepared. Now, I'm going to have a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land, and I'll probably go up to some of you and to your mansion and ask for a cup of tea sometime. But we've got a mansion. A mansion that's being prepared for you right there in heaven. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming again to take us to be with himself. And it's a beautiful illustration of the Easterner's wedding. Let me just fill it in for you a little bit. If a guy gets his eye on a girl, or there's a little or might be between families in the Middle East. What they do is they negotiate. So the father of the son will go to the bride's parent and they negotiate. And when they agree on everything, they sign a form of agreement, and there's presents being given backwards and forwards. And then, of course, they go back, and then the son has to just wait until the father says, now it's time for you to go get your bride. And so he prepares. If you go to Galilee, they have these insulas. So here's the father's house, and then the son says, well, I'm going to get married. And he builds an extra room onto the father's insula, the father's house. And so the father says to the son after 12 months or more, he'll say, son, it's time to go and collect your bride. Now, oftentimes the son will send out the servants to go and get the bride. It's a big thing in the village. They love this. It's all excited. Everybody's waiting and wondering. And the bride has always to be prepared because they could come for her at any time. And so the son sends out the servants to get. But I love it in Thessalonians. It says, the Lord himself, he can't wait. He's not sending out the servants, the angels now. He wants to come and himself to bring us to be with him. Isn't that exciting? The Lord can't wait to take us all to be with himself. And so the bridegroom goes out to collect the bride. Now, this is a wonderful thing. They don't just grab the bride and bring it through the streets. No, they have a special little thing that they take, and they put the bride into this little carriage, this little chair, and they carry her back to the father's house. And that's a picture of the rapture, where the bride is going to be carried back to the father's house. And that's going to happen to us very, very soon. And those gifts that they gave for the bride, God's given us gifts. He's given you a gift. Me a gift. And you've got at least one gift. You've got to find out what that gift is. The most important thing that you can do as a believer is find out the gift that God has given to you and develop that gift in your life. And you might have several gifts. But you see, you've got a gift, and that gift has to be developed in your life. So we need to be prepared. We need to be ready like the bride. The bridegroom could come at any time, and you and I need to be prepared. Let's go across to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we heard this quoted in prayer this morning, and it's a wonderful text. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. How fast is that? 1/50 of a second, probably a nanosecond, twinkling of an eye, we're out of here. And then to the classic passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Chapter 4, and here's that classic passage of Paul being taught about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read it together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, picking up at verse 13. You've got the passage. It's very important that you get this. And you can track along with me with your notes as we go through. Okay. Verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant brethren. Now, the Lord doesn't mind Baptist brethren or Presbyterian brethren or Salvation Army brethren or Church of Nazarene brethren or some other brethren. But he doesn't like ignorant brethren. Okay, so let's not be ignorant when it comes to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get into this passage right now and share it with you. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, notice the word Lord, Lord, Lord coming through here. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This glorious passage has been revealed to the Apostle Paul on the second coming of Christ. The parousia. The parousia is the second coming. It's in two stages, I believe, where Christ comes for his church. And then later on, 7 years later, he's going to come with his church. And we need to be prepared and ready. There's the difference. Let me just give you some of the difference. Why the two are separate. It's not a yo-yo effect where he comes and he takes the church and then he brings in his eternal kingdom. No. It's in two sections. Firstly, the difference is between the rapture and the second coming. Rapture, taking the church to be with himself. The rapture, when he comes with the church back to this earth after the great tribulation period. Number one. There's no prophecies must be fulfilled before the rapture of the church. We call it the imminent return of Christ. Christ could come at any moment in time. No prophecies have to be fulfilled. But many prophecies must be fulfilled prior to the second coming of Christ. If you read through Luke, if you read through Matthew's gospel, you see that all these things, the wars, the rumors, they have to be fulfilled before the second coming. And then two, at the rapture, Christ's feet never touch the earth. But in the second coming, our Lord's feet will touch the earth in Zechariah 14, verse 4. At the rapture, Jesus returned for his believers. At the second coming, Jesus returned to earth with his believers. At the rapture is a mystery and not mentioned in the Old Testament. The second coming is predicted many times in the Old Testament, how Christ is coming to establish the kingdom. And then to number five, after the rapture, believers will be judged and rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Get ready for that. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, one day very soon, you and I are going to be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a single file, okay? Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. God's going to say, okay, I gave you your life. What did you do with it? Yeah, and we'll look back on our life and say, what was I doing? I was giving my life into this and this and this and this. And I could have been using that time for the service of the Lord. But then after the second coming, unbelievers will eventually be judged at the great white throne. Judgment seat of Christ for believers, where there's a place of rewards and lots of rewards, but it's a place of rewards where God's going to reward us in our service for him. At the rapture, there's no physical change in the earth, but at the second coming, part of the curse against the earth is removed. After the rapture, Satan runs rampant in the earth for 7 years. It's going to be a horrible time. But after the second coming, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. The rapture will occur instantaneously, 1/50 of a second. The second coming will be the climax of a 7-year-long worldwide conflict. At the rapture, only believers will see the Lord Jesus Christ. At the second coming, unbelievers will look to him whom they have pierced, and they every knee shall bow. So we see that they're different. So let's have a look at this wonderful thing that's going to happen. The rapture of the church being taken home to glory. You and I being translated out of this world. I can't wait to be forever with the Lord. Let's go through these little points. You've got them on your card there. Firstly, these 10 R's. Here's the first one. The reason. Why was it written? Why was it written? Notice what it says here. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. They wrote to Paul. You see, Paul's only been, I think, about three weeks in Thessalonica. You know, we say, oh, don't teach about the second coming or prophecy, you know, they won't for new believers. No! Paul was only there for a short time. And you read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and it's deep teaching concerning the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's there, but some of them have died. And so they're saying to Paul, what's happening here? He said, well, don't worry. Paul expected the Lord to come in his lifetime, and we ought to be expecting the Lord to come in our lifetime as well. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker, aren't you? I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the clouds, okay? I might not be good looking, but I'm a good looker, okay? I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming again. And then two, there's the root of our faith. What does it say? For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, that's the root of our faith that we've been remembering this morning. The death, burial and resurrection and coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And we have to get back to the simplicity of the gospel. Let me try and explain so there's no doubt about what the gospel here is this morning. It's not works. We can't earn our way to heaven. It's by faith alone, grace alone, through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Here's one hand. Let's represent that as God. Here's God. And what is God like? We heard a little bit about this morning, the immensity of space. 6 billion galaxies, rather a billion stars in every galaxy. I think there's, I don't know how many billions of galaxies for every person on Earth today. And that's the immensity of space. That's how, don't put your God in a box. We serve a God who is big, God is powerful, and God is almighty. He's omniscient, he knows everything that's going on. He's all-powerful, we call him omnipotent. He knows everything that's happening in the world today. He's omniscient, he knows everything. God is powerful, and God is holy. He can have nothing to do with sin, nothing to do with sin. God is absolutely pure and holy. But here's man. And man, when he was created, he had a pure heart towards God. But there was a problem. The Satan came into the garden and he started to tempt Adam and Eve. And you know the story well, how that Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. And so this horrible disease of sin has come into the world. And what is sin? Well, sin's the breaking of God's commandments. But essentially, notice the S capital I-N, the big I. What I want to do, where I want to go, where I want to be. That's sin. All we like sheep have turned astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. God, get out of my life. I want to do my thing, go my own way. Don't you interfere with my life. I'm perfectly happy the way that my life is. Sin, the essence of sin is independence of God. And that's the problem we've got today. And that's why we can never get back to God, because of this great problem of sin that's in my heart and it's in your heart as well. Sin must be dealt with. So God did a wonderful thing. God did something marvelous. Jesus Christ paid the penalty, the punishment. We remembered this morning. He paid the penalty and the punishment for my sin and your sin. He paid the price. He died in our place. We deserve punishment. We deserve hell. We deserve judgment. But Jesus Christ in his body on the cross, so butchered, bleeding, dying on that cross, he took all the judgment for my sin and your sin. It's kind of like you're about to step across the road and there's a huge truck coming down the road and you don't see it. And you're about to walk across, you're about to be cleaned up, but there's a young man standing behind you and he pushes you out of the way and he is cleaned up, he's killed. But he gave his life for you. Well, that's what substitution means. Jesus gave his life for you. He died for you. If you're the only person in the world, Jesus Christ loved you and Jesus Christ would have died for you. He gave his life for you on the cross. But you see, you must respond to that love. You've got to respond to him. You've got to repent of our sins and receive Jesus Christ by faith in your life, entrust your life completely to him, because that's what believing means. I don't know how many times the word believe is mentioned in the Gospel of John, because that's what salvation really is. It's to entrust our life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I just come back from Tasmania. with Dorothy. We got down there to try and escape this humidity and see her relatives. And so I go, I'm going back there. And I got my ticket to get on the plane. Ah, yes, I believe this plane can get me back to Brisbane. And so I'm waiting there in the waiting room. Here I am, I believe that plane out there, waiting on the tarmac, that's going to get me back to Brisbane. But I'm not in the plane. I walk down the concourse, but I'm not on the plane. I walk across, we walk up the steps to get in the plane, but I'm not in the plane. It's only when I get to the door of the plane that I make that step where I commit myself to the pilot, the crew and the plane. I'm entrusting my life to that plane. Now that's what it is to believe. And I hope this morning that you've made that step. Not in your head. The distance between heaven and hell is the distance between your head and your heart. And you can believe about him in your head. And some of you are like that this morning. You may have been first generation, second generation, third generation Christians. You've got him in your head. But you don't really know Jesus in your heart. Have you had that personal experience with him? Because you see, notice there's two crosses. One cross rejects Christ, and the second cross receives Jesus Christ. The thief on the cross is the greatest illustration of what salvation is all about. You know what? We deserve to be here. He knew he was a sinner. He looked to Jesus by faith. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The simple illustration of faith is one of the greatest examples of faith and trust in the Bible. But the other thief rejected. He went to a lost eternity. And that's the choice to all mankind today. Have you made it? And that's the message of the cross. That's why we've got to get out and share it. And we've got to keep clear on the essence of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the bedrock. Christ died for us. We're forgiven. Christ rose again. We too shall be raised. Okay, and then to the rejoining. Notice what it says. Even so, God will bring with those who sleep in Jesus. So there's going to be a rejoining. God will bring those who are asleep in Jesus. Now, we don't believe in soul sleep, where, like the SDAs do, you know, body goes, they believe it's going to go to sleep and then another goes. No, no, no. The body, yes, goes to the grave, but the soul, the spirit, goes to be with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul says, I desire to be with Christ, which is far better. If he's going to the grave, he'd like to stick around for a little bit longer. But, you know, he knew that it was so important to realize that when you die, you go immediately into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be so fast, we won't even realize how fast it really is. So the body is asleep, not the soul. It's if you take the Greek word, it means to fall asleep, fallen asleep, kamoa. That's the word we get our word cemetery from. So people are sleeping, but they shall awaken again. And just aside, in England, there's a gravestone written one time. A guy called Solomon Pease, he died. And so they chiseled this above his grave as a bit of a joke. He lies the body of Solomon Pease, under the grass and under the trees. But Pease is not here, only the pod. Pease shelled out and went to be with God. Well, you know, that's what the body is, you know. You're more than a body. You've got a spirit, you've got a soul that's going to live on for the whole of eternity. The souls we rejoin to be renewed in a spiritual body. It's going to be a wonderful body given to us. And then to notice the revelation. Notice what it says in 4, verse 15a. For this we say by the word of the Lord, Paul received the revelation either by Christ's personal appearance to him or when he was in Arabia. By this we say, by the word of the Lord. This is not in the Old Testament. This is not in the Gospels, primarily. But it's here Jesus Christ is revealing it to Paul. When he was in Arabia, the word of the Lord came to me. You see, he received this direct revelation, this mystery about the rapture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's the reappearing in verse 15b and 16. For we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall by no means precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So here we've got the shout first of all. What does it say? Well, himself descend from with a shout. I can't wait for that. The shout. It's like a commander calling the troops. Calling them. When you've got thousands of men in a Roman army start to travel to some distant province, there has to be control. And so they had different trumpeters stationed throughout the camp. And one blast, strike your utensils, pack up your utensils. Another trumpet blast, strike your tents. And then the ultimate trumpet sound, it's moving out together. So here we have the shout. And I think of the Lord outside the grave of Lazarus. He shouted. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And one person came out of the grave. And Jesus Christ said, loose him. Let him go. And if we've got some of the old dirty grave clothes around us, they need to be thrown aside, okay? Some little habits that we're holding on to all in our Christian life. But there had to be the cry at the cemetery. You see, before God does the supernatural in our life, we must do the natural. He said, roll away the stone. No good asking God for great blessings in our life if we're still holding on to the old grave clothes. But Jesus Christ cries out, and we've got to come forth in fresh and new life. And then, too, there's the cross. When our Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross, he screams out that word, Tetelestai, finished, paid in full. In my study, I've got one of those blocks with a nail coming up through it. And it belonged to my dad. It was back in the days when you actually paid off your house. And he'd pay off a payment on the house and he'd plunge that receipt onto that spike. And then next month, he's paying off the house. Till finally gathered a family together. He says, look at this. He said, look, it's the final receipt. The house is ours. We paid for it all. And with great joy, he took that last receipt and he plunged it onto that spike. He said, we own the house. It's been paid in full. And that's what Jesus Christ screams on the cross. Tetelestai, paid in full. He screamed it out. Victory, paid in full. I've paid the price. He's paid the price for my sin. He's paid the price for your sin there on the cross. But this time, when he comes to the clouds, he's going to scream out. He's going to scream out for his bride to come to be with himself. There's the summons too. Notice Michael the archangel. He's going to cry out too. He's the one who controls the warring angels. And then there's the trumpet. Get ready. Move out. And there's the sights and the sounds. It's not silent. This is going to be spectacular. For the ending of silent rapture. No, it's not going to be silent. This is what Anne Graham Lotz, that's Billy Graham's daughter, and she's a brilliant Bible teacher. But she said this recently. She believes that Jesus is going to return soon to take all of his followers to heaven with him in what is referred to as the rapture. She warns that those who are unbelievers, who are left behind, God's judgment is coming and it's going to be ugly. She further wrote, while this, the rapture, will be a deliverance for his people, can you imagine the impact on our nation, let alone the world, when suddenly every single authentic Christian disappears? Institutions will collapse. Banks will close. The stock market will plunge. Planes will fall out of the skies. Cars will crash on the roads. The government of America at every level will disintegrate. Families will be torn apart. In this unprecedented turmoil, our nation will be vulnerable for our enemies to seize the moment and attack us. There'll be mass chaos, confusion, fear, grief and despair, anger, threats, danger and judgment. And so she's expecting the judgment of the rapture to come, the rapture to come at any time. It's going to be great confusion in the world. Just imagine all the believers just gone. We're out of here. What's it going to be like in Australia when the rapture comes? And then the speed of it. We heard this several times this morning. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, split second. Don't just say, well, I'll just put it off for a little while and wait and, you know, I'll get my... No, no, no. It's going to happen and it's going to happen just like that. If the rapture were to happen right now, answer this in your own heart. Are you absolutely certain that your seat would be empty? Or would they still be sitting there? You say, Bill, I hope so. I hope I'll be. No, no. It's not hoping so. It's knowing so. You've got to know that you know that you know that you know that you're born again. And then there's the resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's not the Baptist, but the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay? And I love it in 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also the resurrection of the dead, the body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there is a new body. You're going to get a new body. I can't wait for it. I don't know when the rapture comes with my metal knee is going to be left behind. I don't know what's going to happen. But we're going to get a new body. The new bodies will be incapable of sickness and death. That's gone. No gravestones on the hillsides of glory. That's a past thing. Our new bodies will be identical to the body of the resurrected Jesus. Can you imagine that? The glorious body that's waiting for you. We're going to be conformed to his glorious body. We shall be like him, 1 John 3:2. We're going to be like Christ. And that our new bodies will be identifiable by all those who know us on earth. You know, when we get to heaven, we'll know each other. And we won't have to wear masks anymore. You know, what are you really thinking? No. We'll see each other as we really are. Absolute transparency. It's going to be a wonderful time. Our new bodies will be illuminated in brilliance, full of glory. I think of the Lord at the Transfiguration, where he just showed them just a snippet of his glory, where his garments just radiated with glorious light. That's what it's going to be like in heaven. Beautiful, wonderful light in heaven. It's going to be a glorious and a wonderful place. And then too, our new bodies will be incredibly suited for heaven and the whole of eternity. You're going to get a new body. It's going to be glorious. You can keep this old one. We don't want it anymore. We're going to have just a body which is just made in the image of Jesus Christ. Can't wait for that time. But then there's the renewal. Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Caught up. Hapazo. 13 times in the New Testament. To snatch, to take away forcibly. They translated into the Latin, and that's where you get the word rapture from. But it's this idea of being caught up quickly, and that's going to happen to us. Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. I can't wait for that day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. But then there's going to be the reunion. Now, this is going to be wonderful. We're going to see our loved ones in glory. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It's going to be a wonderful time. I love that old song. Face to face with Christ my Saviour. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him. Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face, a blissful moment. Face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. I can't wait. I can't wait to get to heaven. And the first person that I want to see is the beautiful face of our Lord Jesus Christ. To look into his face, to see those wounds in his hands, the only man-made thing on earth will be the marks in the body of Jesus Christ in heaven. And we shall see him. We're going to see him face to face. But after we look into his glorious face, then I'm going to go looking for mine and you're going to go looking for yours. And I can't wait to see Dad. Dad was Irish. That's why you've got to forgive me a lot, okay? Irish are a peculiar people. I met him at the coroner, but he wasn't there. They're unusual people. You read that newspaper he's sitting on. They're unusual people. My dad was like that. And during the Depression, he went around Australia and they'd go into town, they put up little things on the post and the advertising, little song and dance act that they used to bring that night. And so he'd pin them up in the morning, that night they'd do a little, eke out a little bit of existence during the depression. And so, Dad, crowds were important to Dad. I remember I used to come home from church on Sunday nights. My dad is sitting by the fire reading his newspaper. He said, "Son, did you have a good crowd at church tonight?" I said, "Dad, it was a little cold, but it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad." Every Sunday night was always the same. "Hey, son, did you have a good crowd at church tonight?" Well, I can't wait to see him in glory. Can you imagine the myriads of angels, the redeemed of all of the ages, and we're worshipping the Lord in all of his glory. And I'll go walking up to Dad. I guarantee you, he's going to turn around and say, "Hey, son, we got a good crowd tonight." That's what it's going to be like in heaven. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Because the return is coming, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. We're coming back to the Father's house. And the reassurance, therefore, comfort one another with these words. There's no comfort if we're going to go through the tribulation. No, no. The church is taken out of the scene like Lot, like Noah. We're taken out of the scene. God protects his bride. He's not going to allow his bride to be beat up. And we're going to be taken back to be with the Lord. Let me ask you this morning. Are you going to meet me at the rapture? Do you know it? Are you certain? You see, two things about the second coming. One is we get our lives right with the Lord. And secondly, we reach others who need to hear about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready? You going to meet me at the rapture? Say, "Bill, I hope so." Let's make sure that you know so right now. Would you bow with me in prayer? Bowed in the presence of the Lord. He is here. Right now. And the Spirit of God is speaking to our hearts. Let me ask you, are you absolutely 100% certain that you have God's wonderful gift of eternal life? Are you ready for the Lord's coming? Do you know that right now? Let me ask you. If you're not certain, I'd like to pray a simple prayer. I'll pray it out loud, phrase by phrase. And I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Make this prayer your prayer. And by faith, entrust your life completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Say this silently in your heart. God will hear it. He knows what you're thinking right now. Just pray this in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, today I come to you. I thank you that you love me, that you died for me, that you rose again, and that you're coming back. And I want to be ready. Lord, I turn from sin in my life. Lord Jesus, I entrust my life completely to you. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. If you prayed that prayer this morning, that's wonderful. We're so pleased. But now listen, this is a time for reflection on our own lives. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready to see him? Are you ready? Have you given everything to him fully, completely? Or are you holding back in some areas of your life? Are there habits in your life that you haven't broken off with yet? Whatever it is, this is a good time this morning to resurrender and recommit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to face him soon, face to face. Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? We're going to see him face to face. Are you ready? Say, "Bill, I know that my life isn't all that it should be, and I'd like to rededicate my life to the Lord." Well, pray this prayer with me right now. Just silently say this in your heart. It's between you and the Lord. But let's mean business this morning. Say this silently, dear Lord Jesus Christ, in a new and fresh way, I totally surrender my life to you. Wash me and cleanse me afresh in the blood of the Lamb. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, right now, I totally surrender my life to you. Now, please, while we're bowed in prayer, heads bowed and eyes closed, if you pray that first prayer with me and you make sure that you belong to Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful decision, and we want to give a little book to you later on. But if you prayed that prayer, just slip up your hand nice and high and drop it down again. Just prayed, yes, I wanted to make sure. Just slip up your hand, we want to make sure. You prayed that first prayer, slip up your hand right now. Would you do that quickly? Up and down, quickly. And then, too, if you pray that second prayer, Lord, I want to rededicate my life to you. I just want to be ready for when you come. I've been thinking about other things, and like the bride, I've not been totally ready for when the Master comes. And this morning, you've rededicated your life to the Lord, and you really meant business with him. Just slip up your head nice and high and just drop it down. Say, Bill, I prayed with that. I know many of us have. Yeah, just drop them down. I know if I was to ask you, every single one of us here this morning would say, yes, Bill, I did that. I fully surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful morning. If you pray that first prayer, look, there's a book out there on the table. It's called Welcome to the Family. Go and get it straight afterwards, please. There's calendars there. Go and get those as well. Tracks, go and get plenty of those tracks to use. And then, too, if you can help us with a bus for Fiji to bus people in, that newsletter that you've been given, there's pencils out, pens out there anyway. Write on the response slip, how many buses or a part of a bus that you can give, and we would be so grateful for that as well. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for this exciting message. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't wait to see our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray that we might be in a spirit of expectation, waiting for when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Father, bless every brother, every sister here this morning. Encourage them. Lift them up. We pray for the exciting days that are lying ahead for this church. We know it's going to happen. And, Father, we know that you're going to bless in a very wonderful way, and we commit that transition time to you as well. We thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings, and we do so in that wonderful, glorious name, the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.